Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
And welcome to the One Up podcast through Anfield Index. I am joined by the two comic book lads. So, Stu, how are you doing, mate?
Yeah, I'm really good. Thanks for having us on. It's always nice to branch out a little bit.
It's nice. Need to do these coming togethers again sometime when I actually get into some comic book stuff. And Rory, how are you doing?
I'm very well, mate. For those that remember, if they listened, I did a couple of these when it first came to pass. So, it's great to be back on, actually.
We shall crack on. So today's pod, we're just going to talk mainly about Red Dead Redemption and a bit about Rockstar. But we'll crack on straight away, but we'll just go a little bit into your gaming lives at the moment. So Stu, what consoles are you on? What games are you playing at the moment?
What consoles? Pretty much, I could go on anything. I've got all four of them set up in my man cave, but at the minute I'm focusing on... I'm just looking at the stack on my desk. I've got Arkham City on the PS4, Gears of War 4 on the Xbox One, and Titanfall 2 on the Xbox One.
Oh, I need to get Titanfall. And Rory?
I wouldn't bother, it's shit.
Nah, I'm not having it. Titanfall 1 was a masterpiece.
And Titanfall 2, garbage. They've completely ruined it. They've turned the multiplayer into COD.
I'm going to cry.
Awful. Genuinely awful.
Don't make me cry. I'll just go back in Titanfall 1. I've got it anyway. Rory, what are you into at the moment? When do you get time?
So PlayStation 4 predominantly. Playing a variety of things. I still need to finish off Assassin's Creed Syndicate from last year.
Jesus.
I kind of played it a bit, went off it, not so much. But really enjoying Tomb Raider on the PS4. Played a bit of Mirror's Edge. Bit disappointing, but I really like the original. And I am doing a bit of beta testing on a mobile game for my brother-in-law, who I've always talked about with Stu. He did some design work on the Batman games.
Did the cape, didn't he?
His company, he designs for himself. His company is Cape Guy. He's got a game called Ski 3 coming out, which is really good. And when it's linked, I will post you guys the thing to download it, because it's a really good little mobile game. So
please do.
Good stuff. Cheap plug there.
Well, it's the right format to plug it in, you know? So why not? And he works hard on these games, so it's a tough going for a designer.
It's fair dues.
Yeah.
We'll get straight into Rockstar in general. Obviously, they make great games like Extreme Ping Pong or whatever the hell it was called.
Absolute classic, aren't
they? Yes. Bully, GTA, Red Dead Redemption, probably plenty of more. So, Stu, what is Rockstar a special developer for you? And if so, why?
Not really, because I'm going to say something now that might get me A, kicked off, and B, blacklisted. Don't like most GTA games.
Can we just end this now?
GTA 1 and GTA 5. I didn't like the ones in the middle.
What about Vice City?
What about San Andreas?
No.
You didn't like Vice City? Right, comic pods over. That's it. Sorry, guys. This is the end of an era.
No. I didn't like them. That's why I was really skeptical when I got Red Dead, because I hadn't played Red Dead Revolver. So I was coming into this really new one when people were saying to me, oh, it's like GTA on horseback.
On horseback,
like,
pretty much.
Well, that's not a ringing endorsement for me. But it was off the strength of this that I then got GTA 5. I then had the confidence in them to deliver a GTA game that I actually liked. And I fucking loved it. But as a developer, they're not really on my list. My major go-to is Ubisoft. Anything Ubisoft drop is gold to me.
Yeah, I'd have to say Bethesda for me. But Rory, Rockstar for you, special place?
Yeah, I completely opposite to Stu, which isn't uncommon if you listen to our pods. I think they're quite revolutionary. They did games that no one else would have got near making. I mean, GTA, you know, GTA the first is of its day.
It's
pretty old school, but it's fun.
Garanger?
That's exactly what I was going to say. That is my lasting memory of that game. I loved Vice City. It plays out like a proper 80s kind of movie. And if you watch film Drive, it's basically ripped off of GTA Vice City. And yeah, just throughout, I mean, they made a ping pong game work because they were testing a new, you know, motion development thing. You know, it's a games engine that they produced and made a game based on it and decided to release it, and it works. And they just do things that I think are ahead of the curve. I love the Warriors game that they produced back on Xbox 360. I think it was before that. Maybe it was a PS2 game. Or maybe Xbox One, and it was re-released a few times. And yeah, I just, all the GTA games, in particular 5, I'd say 5 is way, way and above the best game they've produced. Other than Red Dead Redemption, of course, which we'll talk about.
Obviously.
I think they just do things that are different. And I think their games do play quite similarly because of the game's engine. And I agree with that. Sometimes it is quite samey. But if you're talking Ubisoft and stuff, like the Assassin's Creed games are just the same but rehashed stew. And I like them, but, you know, it's quite similar. And I think what Rockstar do is try and branch out and do different things and go in different directions, which is quite rare.
Yeah, and I think the thing with Assassin's Creed is they rush the story and it ends up being boring and shit.
Stu, any retort? Are you on silence during this moment?
No, I'm just sitting here listening to all this garbage about my beloved Assassin's Creed games.
You have to be happy they took a break from them, though, so they can actually make a good game again.
That's the key. I think one a year is wrong.
Yeah. One a year I don't have a problem with. I had a problem when they did two a year. When they released, was it
Rogue?
Oh my god, Rogue was awful. It's the only Assassin's Creed game to date that I've taken back before finishing it. That's how shit it was. I mean, I will play some shit games, but I got about a quarter of the way through it and I took it back, and the guy went, how come you brought it back so quickly? He went, because it's shit. And he went, yeah, we've heard that quite a lot.
Yeah. 50 copies on the shelves.
They were using copies as coasters and all kinds.
That franchise has suffered since Black Flag for me. But this isn't the Assassin's Creed pod. This is the Rockstar and Red Dead pod. And I'd just like to get a shout out to Bully, which was a really weird ass game. But it was kind of, you couldn't take your eyes off it when
it
you were playing it.
It worked, didn't it? I really liked that game. I just thought it was, again, it's just something that not other developers would probably choose to do, but it kind of fit within the cartoons of the time and the films.
I don't know how I got my mum
to
buy me that game.
I know. Yeah, I know. It was,
you sit
like,
there playing it, don't you? And then you go, why am I playing this? This is crap. 4 hours later, why am I still playing this?
They do have an addictive tendency. Yeah, I think that's what, in fairness, I think that's what Rockstar do particularly well. They do enough interactive elements to their games that just think, you actually, no, I just want to do that. I'll just go back and cut. Yeah, the scale is just beyond. I mean, that's the thing with GTA, is they've always been of a scale. I used to be proud of myself when I knew the map like the back of my hand. That's, you know, when you were rooting. Well, I know, but you played them that often, like GTA 3 San Andreas. I used to know every corner and every way to go because I played that game so many times.
Yeah.
And I loved that about it, that you knew the neighborhood and you knew where to hide from the cops. Not when you had 5-star, because you're never getting away from the police when you got 5-star. But it was just, yeah, I just thought those games were just way ahead of what's come since. And I think they just will always keep knocking it out of the park. And I would imagine the follow-up to this game will be the same thing.
Hopefully. But we'll move on from Rockstar as in general. But we'll focus on RDR. We're going to call it RDR1 now, or are we just going to call it RDR?
RDR,
right. So, for people who don't know what RDR is, it's Red Dead Redemption. If you don't know what Red Dead Redemption is, you might as well turn this podcast off now.
Yeah.
So, RDR1, basically the story was this outlaw called John Marston, who got in trouble with some corrupt government officials, and then had to help bring in two of his former gang buddies. I can't remember their names, but he had basically stories about capturing them. And then it's one of the best twists probably in gaming history. Would you agree?
I would agree.
Yeah. The whole story from start to finish was just
one of the best stories.
It was compelling, and it was so believable. Because you think of the era that this was set. It's set in 1911.
Yeah.
So right at the end of the frontier times, right when you're getting from the Old West just into the advent of modern technology, of machine guns and cars and stuff, and like the problems associated with that. They were basically the last of a dying breed, weren't they? The old cowboys.
Yeah.
And it's, yeah, very, very compelling.
And the world kind, like the in-game world kind of develops in that time, because obviously you start off in Armadillo, where it's pretty much just a run-down shithole, basically, and then you end up in Blackwater, is it called?
I think it's called.
Yeah. It's like a modern-day town where you can. It's already got roads built, it's ready for cars and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So it felt like something out of Back to the Future 3.
Yeah, yeah.
That town.
Oh, God, Back to the Future 3.
That's a whole different pod.
Yeah.
I think they're actually doing a Back to the Future trilogy, yeah.
The twist, spoiler alert, if you haven't played it, what are you doing? So basically, John Marston gets destroyed. Like, literally, it's Godfather stuff with Sonny. It's unrecognized. I just spoiled two films in a row there.
You may as well go for the hat trick.
Yeah.
Bruce Willis is a ghost. John Marston dies, and then that's not the end of the game, because you get to play as his son. And his son is Jack, isn't it? Completely gone black.
Yeah.
Jack.
Yeah, Jack.
Who's annoying.
He also answers to Whiny Bitch.
Yeah. When he skins,
God, he's whining.
When he skins an animal, he says, "Let me take your coat, madam." He's just an arsehole.
He's a proper arsehole. He's got definitely psychological scarred problems from his childhood, and he's going to be.
Wouldn't you if John Marston was your dad?
I think so, but John Marston was pretty fucking awesome, John Marston. So
I was reading before, he actually won awards as an original character. He won awards for his,
that's incredible,
his design and his backstory.
Backstory is just
to saying something.
It's that's the thing about the storytelling. I know we moved on a bit from Rockstar, you know, before, but they do know how to tell a story. You know, it's in gaming terms, you know, sticking this closely to one character as they do with GTA and Bully in this. It does give depth to a character which other series and other, you know, things seem to struggle with. And this is just one game, and you know, it's quite amazing, you know, that this game franchise, and you don't get to know the characters and understand and find them as interesting as you do in this game. You know, I don't think Nathan Drake is particularly compelling or interesting in comparison to John Marston, let's put it that way.
There's not I have never played Uncharted, which might be the biggest shame. But yeah,
that's quite a surprise for most people on this pod.
I've only just got a PS4 and it's not even plugged in because I'm waiting for God of War and Horizon Zero Dawn.
I would get the in fairness, mate, I would get the trilogy, the original trilogy and Uncharted 4 because I think they are worth your time. They're very good.
Yeah, but Crash Bandicoot's coming out.
You can play Crash Bandicoot in Uncharted 4.
That you can a little bit.
Again, it's very meta.
Oh, God. Yeah, but at the same time, Final Fantasy's coming out there.
Move on.
Yeah. Right, so basically, you play as Jack, you become a bitch, and then you seek revenge, and it's not a story mission, it's a side mission seeking revenge, isn't it? It's done really well, because it's something that you could miss if you weren't Googling the ending. but yeah, obviously we've talked about this world, it's very real, it's full of character. There's not loads of side characters who kind of survive the journey, but Stu, is there any side characters that kind of enhance the world around you when you played this game?
Yeah, I really loved, it sounds really stupid, but the horses were a really, really good side character, because no matter where you were, no matter how dangerous a situation, your stupid faithful horse would always run in and bail you out. If you were getting mauled by 7 bears and you whistled for your horse, he'd come in and save you and then inevitably get eaten by the 7 bears. But in terms of people characters, I liked Seth. I really liked Grave Robin, slightly insane, kind of already looks like a zombie Seth, who in the epilogue, prologue, whichever one comes after the game, it turns out that he does actually find his fortune and he becomes like a multi-millionaire or something. So he's one of the only people that comes out of the whole saga with a happy ending. Everyone else is either dead or completely fucked over.
Yeah. And he's a bit of a necrophiliac, so...
Yeah, but, you know, I suppose
everyone's got their hobbies, yeah.
Some people smoke, some people fuck the dead, you know. Swings and roundabouts.
You gotta get what you can get. Rory, who sticks out for you, if anyone?
So, I did a little bit of reading in the moments, you know, during this pod, maybe.
As you asked who else is a character in this film. In this game.
Essentially. This is the kind of prep we do in the AI comic pod. You know, it's literally on the go. I loved the section in Mexico. I loved everything about the whole section and the campaign in Mexico where the music changed and the scenery changed and the style changed. And Abraham Reyes, if you remember him, was a Mexican revolutionary, and he was pretty prominent in all those kind of levels in Mexico. I thought he was a good character, and just purely because of the Mexico element of it, I loved my time when you crossed the border, basically.
I loved how the world changed from
America. I thought it was genius, actually, in terms of a game, how literally you crossed over the border and the mariachi band started piping up and the music changed.
Oh, yeah.
And the animals changed, the wildlife changed and the scenery changed. It became more arid. It's pretty bleak as it was, but there's certainly less trees and more sand. And it was just so subtle, but really clever. And obviously the voice acting and actors and characters changed. And yeah, I just thought it was a really good, I didn't expect that in the game, and games don't often do that. They might take you to another area of a building or a map or whatever you're going to do, but not completely change the country you're in during mid-game. So I just thought it was brilliant.
Yeah, I think that, as I said, the change in culture in the actual game, it's very interesting how it just kind of just one bridge and it's completely different. And I imagine that's what it was like in 1911, where it was kind of, it's still a pretty much war-torn part of the country, I think.
Juarez is the North Mexico border with these states is known. Mm. Well, Trump wants to build a wall, let's put it that way. So, yeah, it's known for being troublesome.
We'll see Thursday if that happens.
Jesus Christ.
but I didn't put this in the agenda because, one, I forgot about it, and two, I'm stupid because I forgot about it. But the DLC that got released, Zombies, Stu, how big of a DLC was this? And is this possibly one of the best DLCs we've seen in gaming history?
For me, it's the best DLC, because most people, when you release something, it's a bolt-on for an existing story. So you look at the DLC for, say, Assassin's Creed games, you might get, you know, there's this historical character, and you might get maybe a couple of hours worth of gameplay out of it for maybe £5 or £6.
Mm.
Or Mass Effect, you get, you know, an extra 5 or 6 hours. This was basically a whole other game. But the way they changed the dynamics, so you couldn't just shoot the zombies anymore. It had to be headshots.
Mm.
And the way they had the town defense. And the best thing was that gun they gave you, where you got the old blunderbuss and you had to fill it with bones from the zombies. That was genius. I absolutely loved it. That completely reinvented the game for me.
Mm. It was just a new game.
It was. It completely turned the game on its head. You had the lovely, nice sunshine side of it, and then the other really dark, really horrible and grubby side of it.
Mm.
But it didn't feel like a typical zombie game.
Yeah,
I've never heard of a zombie Western game before.
That sounds like a film that should be on Sci-Fi.
That sounds like a film that should exist.
Yeah.
In fact, we'll put it this way. Considering there's already 3 Sharknadoes, I'm sure there's already a trilogy out there. Some
4 Sharknadoes.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
It came out last year.
To be honest, while we're recording, there's probably another one being made. So it'll be 5 in the next couple of weeks.
Then you've got Mega Shark vs. Crocosaurus 18 or whatever it's up to.
Okay, that one's actually good. Megalodon versus the big crocodile thing is actually really funny.
You guys spend way too much time watching Absolute Shite. I'll just put it out there.
I watched the Halo series last week on Sci-Fi.
Oh my god.
You can't get angry at that channel for producing awesome content.
They do. Can I just comment on the...
Yes, you can.
I would say it probably is the finest add-on made ever, I would say, in gaming. But GTA has got a couple of very good ones where it's obviously using the world and just adding new stories into it. The one with the biker gang, the Harley biker gang. I can't remember what that was called.
Oh God, something down.
Oh, I can't remember. But do you know the one I mean?
Yeah.
See, that was pretty good as well. So I think the thing with Rockstar is they kind of know that they've got the world to add something onto, but they don't just want to make a typical is another level kind of job, so you get your money's worth a little bit. So I think it's a really cool add-on. I think there was a Call of Duty one, and I can't remember which. I know they do it a lot of the time now, but I think the original Call of Duty one, the zombie add-on, was really good.
The first one was when they did the Nazi zombies.
Yes. What was that, one?
Oh, was it? It wasn't. Was it COD 5?
It was World of War. Yeah.
World of War, yeah.
Yes.
I thought that was really good. I used to really enjoy playing that one. I think they've probably done it to death now, and it's probably crap. But that
That's
original
all me
one
and my
was really good.
To play. When COD 5 came out, we ignored the normal game and just played zombies.
You had to survive to a certain level, didn't you? And me and my mate were just great. You got those crazy guns and like grenade launchers and the electric bolt firing things and stuff. That was just nice.
Ray gun, run around in a circle.
Yeah, it was just we used to camp in and plant the mines and just destroy the shit out of things. It was good fun. But I thought Red Dead was probably up there with the best add-on. And it's a really fun game. But again, it's more story. You know, they didn't have to do that. Do you know what I mean? They made it a legitimate other story, and it was really good.
Yeah, for me, it's unmatched with DLC. I mean, Rockstar as a company. I mean, you look at GTA 5 online now. I mean, it's an ever-growing world that doesn't seem to be stopping. Like, it's getting added to every week. I mean, they haven't added anything for single player yet. But in terms of RDR, did either of you play online at all?
I did a couple of times, but I thought it was a bit shit.
Yeah, I did a little bit, but when I first went on, I didn't like the way they started off, and I don't know whether they changed it. You started off with a really shit horse, and it was actually a little donkey.
I love the donkey.
Oh, the mule. I saw him. He's got a name as well, you know. I was looking through the character list before. I'll come back to it.
My donkey was always called Paco. Paco the donkey. I joined, I remember the first night I played it, I jumped into this lobby and there was me and a few other guys and they were all striding off on these majestic white steeds and I was there on this little fecking donkey with little 1 foot legs. And by the time I reached the base, I'm not joking, they had killed everyone and I'm like, Paco, what are you doing? And he let me down.
I think that sums you up there, mate, to be honest, in one analogy. Yeah.
Yeah.
Donkey and a letdown.
Yeah.
He's called El Señor.
El Señor.
El Señor is a mule found wandering around the south of the border area. He's also the basic mount players start with in multiplayer.
Wasn't that your nickname in school? Basic mount.
Jesus Christ.
I think it was your mum's.
Oh my God.
God. It's a good job I already hate you.
I know. Moving on. Come on. Let's guy host his own pod for once. Jesus, we're just interrupted.
That's the first your mum joke I've had on this podcast.
I'm proud.
Yes. Yes. And it was shit. El Señor, fat Mexican. That's how I played RDR Online. I enjoyed RDR Online. It wasn't what I expected it to be, because I think I was in year 11 or 10 when it came out. I was still in school, and I fucked up my GCSE PE result with that. I may have skipped a revision.
But if you came across a donkey, you'd know how to ride it. So it's you know.
I can pull off a shit moustache and speak no Spanish. That's all.
What else do you need in life? That's it, you're already made.
A tan.
and a poncho.
I need the sombrero. I enjoyed online. Mainly just because it was just the friend element. I think it was an easy game to just piss about with your mates in, which I think Rockstar have made a known fact that's what they tried to do with their game in GTA Online, is the ultimate fuck-about game, really. And I think that's what RDR achieved, but to less success than GTA. But I think that's all we want to cover for the first RDR, unless you two want to add anything.
Yeah, the one thing I really liked from the in-game dynamic was the Deadeye meter.
So that
was a really, really nice way of just changing it up a little bit and try and make you a little bit more clinical.
Mm.
Where especially once you started leveling up your guns and you had some things that got some real power. So when you started getting like the really powered rifles and you could take out like five or six people and just take their heads clean off, that really did make, you know, clearing out big groups of bandits a lot easier. And I've never seen anything like that before in any other game.
The thing is, the Deadeye system, it's kind of, I've seen it in a couple things. I think Call of Juarez, it seems to be Westerns that do it. I think Call of Juarez has it in, which, well, any Western game seems to be good. I mean, Gun, Call of Juarez, RDR, Red Dead Revolver as well. The Deadeye system for me, it helped with the twist that kind of broke my soul when I was that age.
Yeah.
Because obviously, Deadeye gives you hope of killing shitloads of people, as you said.
Yeah.
Helps you kill a gang, but in the twist, there's probably, what, 25 people?
Oh, yeah. You're absolutely fucking dead.
Yeah. And
in terms of the weapons, they had a cracking range, didn't they?
Depending on the kind
of player that you were. And then you level, by the time you got right to the end and you had that buffalo rifle, which is just insane.
The buffalo rifle.
When you could drop a buffalo with one bullet, you know you've got a shit hot gun.
I must comment on the hunting if I can. I thought the hunting, I normally don't get caught up with the side elements of games, you know. I kind of like to play the campaign and I kind of bust through that. And I thought the hunting was really addictive. Kind of came across an area of, I don't know, you had to hunt skunks and all the random stuff you had to hunt. Obviously, the bears were a challenge.
The bears were awesome, especially once you got the buffalo rifle.
It's that kind of fear, though, that they're coming towards you. You know, you felt like you were in bloody... What's the DiCaprio film?
Revenant.
Yeah. You just felt like a bear was going to maul you at any given moment when you heard that roar in the back.
Because usually you did, and all you'd do is you'd hear that roar, wouldn't you? You'd turn left, you'd turn right, and then you'd turn left again, and all of a sudden there's a massive bear.
I just thought it was really clever. And obviously the campaign, there were some great ones. The one with the train was really good.
Where was your favourite place to hunt?
Oh, there was a place by a lake or a riverside that I just got loads of stuff.
In the icy, where you go north up in the sky. Yeah. That's my favourite one because that's where all the beavers were. And the beavers used to give you that oil that was worth a load of money. There was that. And then just down from them was the bears. You could go up there for like an hour, come back and then get hundreds and hundreds of dollars and go and buy a shitload of guns and bullets.
Yeah, and I think it was worthwhile in the game doing those kind of things because it did upgrade your character. You did get better weapons. Just like in GTA, really.
I don't know anyone who played that game who didn't spend hours and hours every day just hunting for no other
and
reason.
You have to kill the legendary cougar or whatever the hell.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. And then you have to kill it in a certain way, didn't you? Like, go and kill it using your knife and your arm. God.
I loved roaming around on the horse as well. Roaming around on your horse and you all got the sunsets and you'd think it'd be dull. If you played any other game, you'd think, just riding around on a horse and rocking up to small areas and hunting and stuff. You think that'd be really boring, but it was so good, man. I could just play it for hours and hours and hours. And the music before we move on, the soundtrack, I own the soundtrack and have for many years. Jose Gonzalez got a track on there, and I think Lead Singer Pearl Jam's got a song, which is the kind of famous one towards, you know, one of the endings. And it's just great. It's just a really cool soundtrack, works really well with the game, and obviously Rockstar's know a bit or two about soundtracks, and I just think it sets the whole game off really well, and the sound effects and the soundtrack are just excellent throughout.
I'd agree with that. But just before we move on to RDR2, I forgot about this with the RDR online. It reminded me when you brought up the bears and the hunting. Me and my mate invented a game called Bear Herding.
That's amazing.
Literally, you go to the camp in the woods where there's like, in the stories, like four people.
Yeah.
But online, there was like three bears there, and they couldn't get into the house, and you could jump over them from the roof. Then you have to run to the load point and then outrun, like, I think we got up to about 35 bears once. Trying to outrun 35 bears was scary stuff. But obviously RDR is on backwards compatibility with Xbox One now, so if you haven't experienced it and you're still listening for some goddamn reason, go get it. If you want to relive some memories, go get it, if you're on Xbox One. But, I think the biggest shame about RDR is that the voice actor for John Marston, that was his only game that he ever did voiceover for.
Is it really?
I think so.
That's really rare because gaming voiceover actors obviously make a living out of it. It's quite profitable.
Good living as well.
Do they? Mm. Yeah, I think I've read something recently, maybe not so profitable for some of them, but I think the lead ones do pretty well out of
it.
They are striking
when you look
at the moment, I think.
Kevin Conrad. And who's the guy that does? Oh, is it Nolan North? The guy that does
Drake. He does Ghost and Drake and stuff from Destiny.
Yeah. When you're in like the upper few percent, you can make some serious money. You make better money than if you were doing TV or something because there's so little work involved.
I think voiceover actors are striking at the moment. I'm not sure what over. I should have really checked this out, but
yeah, I did see an article linked somewhere. But I think it's a smaller. The leads do well out of it anyway. I think the lesser ones, maybe not so much. Yeah. But
it'll be difficult to get into, I imagine.
It's a strange industry to rock up and suddenly be a voiceover actor for a game.
I imagine it doesn't help when like Call of Duty are hiring like Conor McGregor and Kit Harington to do fuck all this. I mean, I think Kit Harington does quite a bit, actually, but I think Conor McGregor will probably do fuck all.
That's their new thing, isn't it? Every game now has got a famous person using their likeness.
Like the
commander in chief or something. It's a bit cheesy.
Sometimes it works, but you know, in early days when they're not playing themselves, but sometimes it works having a bit of a stellar actor. I mean, I know GTA is known for using some pretty big actors over certain games and with the Italian mob.
Samuel L. Jackson.
Well, yeah, but, you know, some lesser but still good actors in some solid parts. And it does make a difference. But, yeah, sometimes it's a bit... I mean, Lara Croft's voice is horrific in the latest Tomb Raider. It's just ridiculous British accent.
I think it's Camilla Luddington. She's a professional voice actress. She's done a lot, but yeah, it's...
It's just too much. It's very, very to a much the American market, isn't it? You know?
Yeah, it's what Americans consider to be British. Like, oh, hello.
Have any of you played Overwatch with Tracer?
No.
Yeah, anyone who plays Overwatch will understand that that is the stereotype British accent. It's like proper London. Horrible. Just
it's like Americans think everyone talks like Hugh Grant, don't they?
Yeah.
Games are known for having their crap robot accents as well. I do like a crap robot accent. Mass Effect has had a few over the years and stuff.
Speaking of Mass Effect, there's a trailer today for the new one.
It's very arousing.
Yes.
It's a trouser arouser. It looks really fucking good, that.
It really does. And we will have to do a Mass Effect pod at some point.
Yes. Marco Lopez will want to be on that. Just putting it out there. Yeah.
And two and three are on backwards compatibility, so I will not leave the house very soon.
You will need at least a week on each of those, I would imagine.
Get me some energy drink and we'll see. but yeah, we'll take a quick ad break and we'll be back with the preview for RDR2. Back in a minute.
You're listening to the Anfield Index podcast channel.
Right, and you're back with the 1UP pod, and still got the comic book guys with me, but we'll move on to Red Dead Redemption 2. So firstly, Stu, are you happy with the name, or are you expecting another R on the end?
I was expecting something different. I thought, considering they had Revolver and then Redemption, I thought they'd have a different R word on the end, because I don't know, I like that naming convention of having Red Dead something.
Retaliation. Especially
I was expecting something like that, but because, like we said before, the time period, they've really run out of time to do it in the Old West, so it's got to be a prequel. And as for what it's going to be, I don't know. That the predictions I've seen have been, firstly, is it going to involve John Marston? I think a lot of people would like it to, but arguably they could be seen as being a little bit weak and obvious by sticking to Marston again.
And so if the voiceover guy doesn't want to do it, would they do another voice with him?
You couldn't, but you'd be fucked. No. It's an iconic voice. It's right up there with like Mark Hamill's The Joker and that. You couldn't recast it, otherwise there'd be uproar. It would be interesting to see if they linked in with Dutch, you know, the head of Marston's old former gang, if maybe he's one of the players, because we don't know if the character's going to be good or bad. I mean, it could be from a bandit's point of view.
That's an interesting one, because obviously you've never seen the bad perspective from a Western game.
Not that I can think of. You're always a hero, aren't you? I mean, Marston was kind of a bit of an anti-hero, but at the end of the day, he was doing
for his sins. Yeah. But yeah, that's an interesting one from a bandit's perspective. But Rory, were you happy with the second R being Redemption again, and just anything you've heard about the game?
Do you know what? As much as I'd like to be asked, I'm kind of just happy there's a new game coming out, because it's one of those that you feared they'd push and push and push, and it just kind of would happen eventually, but you just don't know when, because I think, unlike other games producers, there's no leaks very often from Rockstar, so you have no real idea what they're going to produce next.
It came out literally a couple of days before, didn't it? That banner leaked, and then I think maybe 48 hours later they did.
But it's been in production for what, 2 years, 3 years?
Because they don't fuck about, do they? When they've got their people working on something, they've got everyone they pulled off doing other things, and they were all on GTA 5. And they said, didn't they, after Red Dead, people were like, oh, is there going to be a sequel? And you went, no, we're doing a GTA game, that's it.
And you know the scale of these games. Red Dead Redemption's a big scale game. Do you know what I mean? There's a lot of scenery, a lot of landscape. Obviously, GTA 5 is a massive game. It's a huge, huge game.
It's got to be the biggest map, surely, of any game ever.
Of map of actual differences, and you know, there's probably maps that are giant that have got nothing in them, you know, yeah, in comparison to a GTA world, exactly, and all the different characters and programming that goes into that. And you've got to think it's going to be just bigger and grander and of a larger scale, this game. And I'm really excited to see what they produce. And I just, you know, I know you said you're not a fan, Stu, of GTA, and I kind of somewhat understand certain elements because it is very overhyped in parts, and some of the games in between 1 and 5 are a little bit of a letdown. But what they produce is probably unlike other games producers.
Oh, no, GTA 5 is a masterpiece. There's no getting away from that. It's an absolute masterpiece in game, and the way it's done. And this is something that Guy mentioned. I think it was either in the agenda or on Twitter. Wouldn't it be interesting if the outlay of Red Dead Redemption 2 was like GTA, where it was from a multiple character point of view?
I think they might go that route. Since Red Dead, how old is Red Dead Redemption now? Are we talking 10
6 years?
Or is that all it is?
It'll be 2010 or 9.
2010, and it was released in May.
Yeah,
I mean, that's a long time for... You think
it's a long time.
2 years.
Yeah, exactly. And the other element of it is that they've developed as a games manufacturer, the in-game decisions you make, like you said about being a bandit, but they might necessarily be you can be a good guy but choose to do bad things. And, you know, I think that's evolved in gaming and your choices you make throughout. You know, there's always different scenarios to play out, and I think that would be quite interesting if you choose to go the good route, bad route, or
and that was one of the major things of the first game, wasn't it? How you acted had so many knock-on effects with everyone you interacted with after that point.
Yeah.
You were either a hero or a villain. And if you were a hero, everyone loved you. If you were a villain, everyone was afraid of you, and you would have more people coming after you trying to take you down. So it's a very clever dynamic.
They'll expand upon that, won't it? You know, there'll be more options. And yeah, I just think it'll be a huge game. I think it'll be colossal.
Yeah. It's got to be, hasn't it? Nobody ever makes a sequel and makes it smaller and sizes it. So somehow, I mean, they had, I think it was the equivalent of 2 states in America, and then you had 1 state in Mexico. So they then got to go up from that. So somehow they've got to make the map even grander. And you think if you were riding on your horse, you could go sort of 15, 20 minutes of riding and not stop, you know, just going one side of the map to the other. So if they're going to make it even bigger than that, it's going to be an absolutely mammoth task.
It's going to be Bethesda-sized shit, this.
Yeah, it is. It's going to be like Skyrim. It might even be, you know, a country. You might have the whole of the US, you know, relatively speaking, where you can go to different bits of different states and what have you.
Last game that did that, I think, what was that? What was that Ubisoft driving game called? Drive Club?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was the worst game I've ever played.
It was appalling.
It was appalling, yes. But
it was just awful.
I don't think they'll be able to do the whole US in the detail that Rockstar likes to do stuff.
No.
But I think in terms of southern states, I think they could do most of the southern states. Obviously, I think they'll try and keep Mexico in there because life of bandits tends to be linked with Mexico.
Rory said before, the difference between when you crossed over from the US to Mexico, the whole game felt a little bit different. The people that you encountered were different, and like you mentioned, the animals, that was interesting. So if you needed an animal or a certain type of herb, you had to cross the river and go back over to Mexico, and it just made it made you stay outside your comfort zone, didn't it? You couldn't just bum around that one place. You had to traverse the whole map over and over and over again.
Yeah, that's the point, isn't it? Yeah,
and the mastery of it didn't get repetitive.
No, it didn't. It never once felt like, but I was just there yesterday. Because all you do is you go,
I'm amazed I'll kill by some wolves out the way. Yeah, that still amazes me thinking back, because I've played other games where you do a lot of travelling in between areas, and they just feel like a slog. You just want to get to your destination.
Labour, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And for that game to just never feel like this is arduous and this is dull, it's quite miraculous, really.
Only other game for me that's ever come anywhere near to that is Skyrim, for the exact same thing. You'd need to go one side of the map to the other. And you'd be like, oh, well, I'll go and hunt some giants, or, oh, there's a dragon over there, and there's always something else you can go and slaughter.
I think even Fallout kind of falls into the one, not in a good sense. I think Fallout can get a bit repetitive with travelling.
I struggle with Fallout for that reason.
I think the medieval factor can help in Skyrim, but I think it's just horses, to be honest.
Yeah, throw a horse at the game, everyone's happy.
I think the Witcher can fall into that category where you can just go wandering for years on end. And if you haven't played The Witcher, why are you on my podcast? But yeah, horses on games equals a good game normally.
Assassin's Creed, are we putting that out there? It's not so good on the horse front.
Hashtags horses in games.
Yeah, horses were needed in Assassin's Creed.
No doubt about that. It's more fun when you can drive a horse and cart kind of jobby in the Syndicate one.
I've not played Syndicate.
I think it's a bit of redemption, actually. I think you should maybe check it out, because it's a much better game than what's gone for the last few years.
They've gone away from making it so easy, haven't they? I think they realised that when they started giving you two weapons, they made the group combat too easy. So they took it away and made it the fighting engine a little bit harder. You can't just button mash now. It's more like Arkham, the Arkham games, where it's not just button mashing, it's press to punch, then press to block. If you're not precise,
I think games have started to get harder again. I think for a period of time they dumbed them down and they made them all a little bit too easy. You need a bit of a challenge, because that's the idea.
Well, with Black Flag was too easy.
Black Flag was glorious. I loved Black Flag.
But that was because
I was a pirate, to be honest.
There are games, you know, you played as a kid and you know, go way back. The games that were really tough as a kid, and you go back and play them now, and I'm just useless at them.
That's why I have a healthy respect for Crash Bandicoot and Spyro.
Spyro. I was thinking Super Metroid on the SNES.
I'm thinking even Amiga games like Cannon Fodder, if you ever played Cannon Fodder. That was really tough.
I should add Echo the Dolphin into my list.
Oh, yes.
That's the first game I played shitloads.
Oh, that game was so hard and bad.
There's the games that are just impossible, and you don't know how you were any good at them as a kid, and you go back and think, how the hell did I do that? My proudest achievement as a young gamer was doing all the cheats on GoldenEye. I don't know if you knew what they were, but you had to complete certain levels in certain times or without getting hit or all these ridiculous things. And the one, what's it called, where you go in the Soviet base, one of the first couple of levels, you had to do that in about 2 minutes flat, and it was just ridiculous. And I think I had to do it about 50 to 100 times to get that. But you got like the golden gun or infinite ammo or something insane for the multiplayer, and it was just worth every minute spent. So, yeah, there you go.
We'll get back onto RDR, because we'll end up bringing up Arkham, and then it'll be a new pod.
Then it's game over.
Yeah, I'll have to start the recording again. But yeah, we touched on the multiple character system that worked pretty damn well in GTA for you.
Yeah, it did.
Yeah.
Not just having the multiple characters, but every single one is completely different from the other. And let's be honest, everyone knows who the best character in the game was.
Michael.
No!
Trevor.
God damn it. Trevor was just brilliant. Where you go back.
Trevor was just...
Yeah, but he kept getting out of his goddamn suit. He's an arsehole.
Oh, Trevor was brilliant. The one to remember was he woke up naked on someone's balcony.
Yeah.
He woke up on the beach. I think he might have been wearing women's underwear, and he was surrounded by dead bodies. Another one where it cuts to him and you're in the middle of a police chase and you don't know what the hell's happened, but you're on like a 4-star alert and you've got fucking helicopters and everything. He was incredible.
He's just one of the best design characters in the history of gaming.
And he's in The Walking Dead.
And Westworld.
Yes, he is, yeah. He's got one of those faces, hasn't he, now?
I did wonder whether we were going to mention Westworld as well, because... Westworld is obviously... Awesome. We don't have to talk about that. Do you like it? Yeah.
I like Westworld, yeah.
Yeah,
it's very confusing. It's hard work.
It, it's tough work, but you know, in terms of Red Dead Redemption, there's certainly signs of that kind of Western era, and I don't think Red Dead necessarily kicked off a trend of modern Westerns, but it's certainly in there. You know, Rockstar always ties in. Rockstar always ties in with films of the era. I always think they feel like they're ahead of the trend, and you know, you had films like True Grit and 310 to Yuma, which was remade, and all these really good Western films, modern
Revenant,
Westerns.
Revenant's the same era-ish?
Yeah, it was really similar. Yeah, really close.
It's one of those things, isn't it? Westerns never really die. They go away and then you come back for a bit.
But they've just come back a lot stronger and a lot better. I suppose that's modern cinema, but and a lot of them are remakes, in fairness. But I do think Rockstar just always seems to be on the pulse in terms of gaming and film kind of links, and yeah, soundtracks are always good for that as well. So.
Mm. Speaking of Trevor, have you seen the live, like the people tutorial that he made? Like, it's actually him. Oh, just it's, I can't remember what it's like, live action Trevor tutorial for GTA.
I've seen that. I think someone sent it to me.
It needs to be watched. It's hilarious.
He is Trevor. He's one of those pieces of casting where you don't know where the actor stops and Trevor starts.
Well, it's like Steve Buscemi.
Yes.
Steve Buscemi is very much that actor for me. You just think he
could murder all these people pretty easily.
Yeah, or he could just be that drunk singer in wedding singer, you know? You could just see it at a wedding, you know? So that's the kind of guy he is.
Yeah, but obviously, there's only been a trailer and there's been, like, one picture of relevance that isn't just a red picture with an R on it that kind of made my head explode with excitement. But yeah, there's obviously, I think there's 7 characters on this still image. Do you think the multiple character system will work with 7 people? If that's the case, obviously.
I think that'll be the gang, but I don't think you'll play with 7.
Mm.
It seems a bit much. Thinking about it from that time, it would be really handy for doing things like a coordinated jailbreak. Say the leader of the gang's been arrested and you've got maybe 2 or 3 people. So one of you's got to organise a distraction. Then another one's got to go and break in and steal a key or something. But doing 7 people just seems completely unrealistic because you'd only be able to have each character would only have about maybe 3-4 hour storyline each.
I think the best way to split it would be you get one who's leader of 2, then one who's leader of 2, and then you kind of get the gang leader or something like that. That may work better.
Yeah. If you like sort of micromanagement in cowboy times. But GTA showed how you can do it, didn't they? Football permeates all walks of life. We all know this.
Yes.
But GTA showed how you can do it, and you can have distinct characters all with separate storylines, but they all tie up. I mean, that's the other thing. While they're shown being a gang, they might not even be related. It could be 2 or 3 completely separate people. Who maybe, you know, they come together at the end and they find out, I don't know, they're taking on the government because they're bandits or vice versa or whatever.
Needs a Mexican standoff in there somewhere.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Then you get to the other exciting thing.
I think you obviously think it's going to play out like the last game in terms of the way it plays and the weaponry and all that kind of thing. But you might get things like... did you have things like standoffs in the last game? I can't remember.
You had duels in the street.
Yeah, so you'll get that, but probably times 10.
Someone would just come up to you, wouldn't he, and just be like, I don't like the look of your face, and then you'd have to do
the quick
roll.
There wasn't that many, though, and it was actually quite interesting.
I think they'll do more of that. You know, I think what Rockstar tend to do is give you what you loved and then magnify it by 100. Mm. That tends to be their formula for success.
In Red Dead, they never really put too much emphasis on the side missions, did they? You could go and sit there and play all the different casino games and like the
remember back casino
bounty hunter and shit like that.
Yeah, I used to love it. I was always doing the bounty hunting missions.
Did you take them alive or dead?
I always tried to take them alive, but then just get bored and shoot them.
You'd
anyway.
Really oh, get bored.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, he fell off the gorge. Shit.
Yeah. Like, he's getting away. Rifle in the back of the head. I still get $500.
Buffalo rifle. Nice.
Oh, fucking hell, buffalo rifle, and you take him back, and all he's got is like a shoulder and a toenail or something. He's exploded.
I found his
hat. Half a mile away. Oh, I miss the Buffalo rifle.
That'll be another one. Game,
I was an Evans repeater man myself. I preferred the speed.
I couldn't tell you what I used to use, but I was always more rifles than revolvers just for the power.
Yeah, I think I like a rifle.
I like the Mauser pistol just because it was fucking mental.
Was that the German
automatic one?
Yeah, that thing.
That was insane.
When you start, when you got that plus a full dead eye meter, that was good times.
When someone challenges you to a duel and he has a Cattleman revolver with 6 bullets and you have that and you're just clicking at right trigger or whatever for about 5 minutes trying to empty the clip in dead eye, it was like, yeah, you're going to die.
Yeah. Worst case scenario, you hit me, you're still going home like a piece of Swiss cheese with 20 bullet holes in your torso.
By the time you actually, like, die, you'll probably be reborn. But yeah, we're getting a bit pressed for time, but just on the final bit, I think RDR Online, I think that the name of that's been confirmed, so it looks like, it seems like they're going to be doing something similar to GTA Online.
Yeah.
What would you like to see added to make RDR Online more relevant, more fun?
For me, I'd like a bit more structure to it, a little bit more sort of more mission based, because I think you need that with it not being in the modern world, because GTA was, you'd go on, wouldn't you, and you'd spend all your time just firing rockets at cars, stealing cars, twatting cars, trying to do stunts and stuff. Can't really do that in the Wild West. So I think you needed more variety rather than just you going taking over a bandit's outpost somewhere in the middle of the desert. How they do it, I don't know. But we ripped on the Red Dead Online, but as far as first efforts go, it was pretty good. A lot of people
looked at the first Assassin's Creed
Online. It was appalling. It was, at least when you went on RDR Online, you could get on. At least the servers were there. They were balancing the load properly.
Yeah, they do struggle. Like, yeah, the servers were solid, actually. I do remember that. But they did generally struggle with single campaigns trying to shift it to an online premise.
And a lot of people do. That's why when Titanfall came out, they said they didn't. They did some research and they found that something like 20% of people play single player campaigns, but it takes 80% of the development time. So they said, well, you know what? We may as well just, the single player campaign is the multiplayer. You know, the story progresses through the online stuff.
Yeah, see, I'm a little bit. Look,
but I like
to
play campaigns. I like to be able to play the campaign.
I love a campaign. I'm a bit of a miserable, like, solo effort kind of guy these days. I like a solo campaign. But what I used to love is cooperative work. So campaigns where there's more than one of you, and I just think that's great.
Which game? Army of Two.
Oh,
yeah, that was
Army
what
of Two co-op mode was fucking incredible.
I can't believe what they did to that franchise.
That last game was painful.
Cartel was.
It was awful. It was like watching a relative being run over by a fire.
It was like drinking bleach and then just forgetting what you've just done.
There's a lot of games that if you get the co-op mode right, it's just such a great experience because you've got different skill sets, you know, you've got a sniper and then you've got a guy who's good at close combat and
That's what me and my mate Zaren, that's what we were like. I'm the one that hangs back. I'm the methodical.
I'm the sniper. Yeah.
He just runs in like a dickhead. So I'll be shooting people and he's chainsawing everyone. And then when we're playing Call of Duty, I'll be at the back with a rifle and I'll be like, right, if you go that way. And all of a sudden he goes, room's finished. I'm like, what? And he's just running and shot the shit out of everyone like a maverick. That's what you need, isn't it? You need that. You need the variety. And that's something they could explore with Red Dead Online.
I think they could. Because
they did introduce sniper rifles, didn't they? There was that mission where you're on the library and you got the really rough scope on the bolt. So they could do something like that.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see which way they go down. But I love that about games when there's a great cooperative kind of campaign mode. I think that would work in this environment.
And that's
riding around on horses with your mates and, you know, I just think that'd be really fun.
If you think it, and as well, if they're doing it with more than one main character, that opens up the possibility, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. Yeah,
if they dropped a good single player campaign, which seems pretty much nailed on, and if they then, they've got, like Guy said, they've already confirmed the online, if they were able to then get a half decent co-op in, it's basically faultless. It's the perfect game.
Well, we'll see, but I think they might not be far off making a perfect game. It's early days, but Rockstar and Red Dead just could be just, yeah, it's match made in heaven for me. I think it's going to be amazing.
If anything's to topple The Witcher perfectness, it's going to be RDR 2. But yeah, I think that's pretty much all we want to cover. Plugs, lads.
After you, Rory.
Stu will take about 25 minutes, so we'll go way over. Yeah. I've in footballing terms, we're obviously all big Liverpool fans. Yeah. So I've just finished a piece on Coutinho, which should be on the site tomorrow. Ooh. Which is, I don't know, whenever this is released, it should be out already. And obviously, it's not hard to write a good piece about Coutinho these days, the way he's playing. And just from our perspective, so we are at AI Comic Pod. And yeah, we've done some good pods lately, got some good feedback and good numbers, and did a reaction to Negan on The Walking Dead.
We're getting some crazy numbers.
We are, as this pod does. So we're really all, you know, pleased to keep tuning in. We're all big One Entertainment. I'm not going to call us the geek section. We're one big entertainment section.
Family.
And we, you know, we do some good stuff. We like our movies, games, and you know, and comics. So we're just your typical guys doing fun things. That's all good.
Yeah. If anyone does want anything to read in between listening to all the wonderful pods, yes. If you go to the geek section, we've got some brilliant articles up on there from our wonderful friend, Mr. Joey Connors. He's trying to spice things up a bit now rather than just looking at characters. So he's written a really interesting theory piece about could the Batman and the Joker actually be brothers. He's done a piece looking at depression as depicted in the Daredevil comics, looking at the ethics of heroes through Spider-Man, and then a slight look at sexism and feminism again, you know, the female perspective through Supergirl. There's always, you know, we're looking at one or two articles a week from Joey. We're all trying to chip in a little bit, so please do go along. Thank you for listening, and thank you for reading what we're putting out there. It's very much appreciated. And a big thanks to Guy for having us on.
Yeah.
Anytime, lads, anytime. Just a plug from me. I was on Face Off literally an hour before this podcast with Kaelon. I was trying not to be an arsehole to a Watford fan.
How did you
do?
Was
he being an arsehole, though?
No, he was sound. He was sound.
He's a good sport, yeah.
Yeah. Like he said, he looked at the positives, which is kind of hard to do.
Did he find a positive in that? Jesus.
He scored a goal.
When they were good for like 15 minutes when Karius made those saves, he said that's what football's about, where you're getting smashed but you're still trying.
In fairness, that's, yeah, and their fans seem pretty game. Stu will probably be testament to that, but I don't know, yeah.
I wasn't there. I had to cry it off. I wasn't well, but they looked good. The only thing I would say about the Watford fans was that shite that was going on online where that
that forum.
Fucking hell. How much crack one person smoke?
It seems a lot. Yeah,
a lot by the looks of it.
Yeah.
Fairness, some Liverpool fans aren't so saintly online either. Let's be truthful. But
Saintly. But some of the shite they were coming up with, my God, it was worse than West Ham. They were making West Ham fans look bad.
That's impressive.
That's offensive,
right there.
But just one pod. It's not written yet, but I will be probably not comparing, but I'll probably try and review the two remasters that came out in the last few weeks with Skyrim and COD 4. So I'll probably try and write something up for the geek section. Pull nice. My weight a bit.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
So, I actually forgot to do the November releases, but I haven't got the website open for it at the moment. But Call of Duty came out and Final Fantasy's out at the end of the month. That's all you need to know, unless I'm missing something. Anyway, this has been the One Up Podcast. Thanks for listening, everybody, and thanks for joining me, guys.
Thanks for having us. It's a pleasure.
Thanks for listening, everybody. Goodbye.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.